Welcome back to the Halfway There podcast. Brian.
Yes, sir.
How are we doing this week?
Awesome again.
Man, you are you're a big ball of energy.
I'm loving life.
Well, after this covenant this week, we got to celebrate a baptism.
Yes, we did.
You got to do your first one.
I was honored, joy filled. I mean, I just don't know what to say. It's very touching.
That's exciting. It's awesome. That was our 11th student baptism this year. We have like six more lined up, which is a huge blessing. So we're going to keep going out this year strong. We're going to talk about the covenant of David today.
The what?
The covenant of David. Slow down, Nick. That's what he's saying. No. Use your words.
No, I was like, dude, what? Like what I was telling you before we even started, I was like, I didn't even know this was a covenant. But
a lot of people don't.
I just never really put it in there. And the more I've studied on it and everything, I'm like, well, yes, it is.
And this is an eternal covenant, meaning that it was fulfilled in Christ.
Yes, sir.
As all of them were. But David, interesting person.
I've taught on David before, and I basically drew up and down lines like mountain ranges.
Yeah.
And that's his life. He was at the top on one die. He's halfway down or at the bottom on the next time, and then he's back up on top again. I mean, it's like a heartbeat machine. It's up and down, up and down. Poor little guy.
Some of those are victim of his circumstances as a sinner. Some of them, he's just a victim, because there's a certain king that didn't like him.
I have to say one thing about David. One of the greatest things that we all learned as children was what?
David and Goliath.
Right. But he never wrote about it.
No.
He never mentioned it.
He wrote a lot about God, though.
Right. But he never mentioned what everybody kind of knows him for.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
He did mention his covenantal friendship with Jonathan, which I thought was interesting. We did a series on that. We've done a lot on David's life. We did a series on how God used him as he was a young shepherd boy. We did a series on his friendship.
Right.
He's got a pretty cool life. And now we're going to do...
I noticed one other thing. God usually talks to somebody else instead of him.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
We do hear...
God talked to Moses.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he talks to other people to tell him.
Even here, 2 Samuel, this is what you are to say to my servant David.
Yeah.
And wow, that's interesting. We could probably talk about that for hours, dude. I didn't even think about that God doesn't... I mean, there were a few times that God talk directly to David, but small.
Right. Most of the time he had somebody else to influence him or tell him what God wants him to do.
And yet David always talked directly to God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. Didn't know that. I should look into that. That's probably a little sidebar, man. So, all right. Well, let's talk through this covenant with David.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How is it different? It's almost like God promises him. Is this a promise covenant or is a promise different than a covenant?
You know, I think we talked about that even on week one of this series. And covenants are in promises. Not all promises are covenants, but all covenants have a promise in them. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
not all promises are covenants, but all covenants have a promise in them. Okay. So, I mean, I think it could go both ways here. You know, I would say that this promise is a covenant, and so it's line up, but it's probably a promise before it's a covenant.
Yeah.
It's the same, similar with Abraham, right? He gets promises before he gets the covenant.
Right.
So,
it's kind of like that because he promises something that
Abraham never saw completely.
Well, even David, he doesn't have to be obedient.
You were 100% right.
Have to be obedient. This is going to happen.
It's going
to
happen.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very much in line. And our friend Joe would say, this is why he really likes this one too, is because it's not dependent on human character. It's dependent on God's faithfulness. So
there you go.
You know, so what other questions do you have about this? What did you find enlightening? What did you learn yourself because you didn't know that this was a covenant?
Well, I kind of knew the story.
Yeah.
You know, I read it and everything, but I never really thought about it being a covenant part of it. Mm-hmm. And the more I dove in it and everything, I'm like, it is, because this is God's promise to the lineage of Christ.
Yeah.
you know,
we pull up in Matthew 1, and who do we start to see in there, right? Jesse, right. David, and then yeah. Solomon, and then you keep on going.
And so I'm like, hey, it's a covenant to me now.
There you go. Well, welcome to the... Well, and it's interesting, too, because we open the Bible in Samuel and Kings and even the Psalms and Proverbs, and you keep on going and you see this covenant, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all these things. And that, so when you're opening the middle of your Bible, you're opening in this covenant, you're opening in this promise, right? And so it's really interesting because every Psalm that we read is inside of this covenant towards David.
And another thing that really stuck with me when I was studying this is what did God say about David?
He said that
he has a heart.
A heart. Yes. A heart like him. Like, right? That reflects God's character. Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. You know, that's kind of toward the beginning of David in the Bible and stuff. And
a man after God's own heart.
Yeah. After God's own heart. And I'm thinking, here his son is coming from this lineage.
Yeah. Absolutely. Incredible.
Yeah.
So the covenant was David was centered on God enacting an eternal throne. God's people and judges were doing what they wanted to do. You know, it says that they were living according to their own, what was right in their own eyes. And so Israel faces consequences for rebellion from their covenant with Moses. And so the elders gather together and ask the prophet to go before the Lord and appoint them a king. God did not plan on his people having a king. That was another reason that they were going to be separate from other nations.
Right.
They came from a king, you know, in Pharaoh. But God did not plan for them to have a human king. God planned for them to have him as king. And so they were not going to have like a ruler on a throne, but yet they're in these nations where all these people have rulers on the throne, and so now they're asking for a ruler on a throne.
And I read scripture, and it may be in what we're talking about, but it said something like God had appointed the judges over Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that
that's the book of Judges? Yeah,
yeah. And that's what I was thinking. It wasn't that the people wanted these judges; God made these judges over them. So was,
but then the people wanted kings.
Right.
So then God listens.
So did God let them experience the judges before he brought out the king to appreciate him more?
I think so. I think part of it too is like you look back to Adam, and Adam was given like the priest king responsibility in the garden. You also have like Abraham, who kind of has kingship, right? He meets with the king of Salem as a royal, right? They're both royals. Moses was a mediator. While he wasn't on a throne, he would have been acting as a king, right? So he was leading these people through these trials and tribulations, right? So the judges were like the leaders, right? They were the ones who were, you know, Samson was a judge, and he was a part of this kind of, you know, deliverer. Judges were deliverers for people, but they weren't, you know, they weren't the ones that they wanted.
Right. I was going to say, they really didn't like them.
No, you know, they didn't, because they wanted to keep doing what was right in their own eyes.
Right.
So,
and that's what I was, and I can't remember where that scripture was. It was talking about God put judges in their lives, and then all of a sudden, here comes David.
Yeah. And they wanted a king, not because they were like, we want to honor you, God, with this. It's because they wanted to be like the other nations.
Right.
All these other nations have kings, so why don't we have a king?
Why don't we have one?
So this isn't God changing his mind, just to be clear. This is God essentially continuing his salvation plan just by providing a throne that would eventually be filled by King Jesus, you know?
And let me ask you this question. Yeah. This is the question I asked last week.
Okay.
Why did he wait till now?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just
it could have been any time.
I mean,
yeah.
Right. I mean, why did he let him go through the judges to appreciate what he was going to give them later?
Mm-hmm.
Or was he just saying, okay, if this is what y'all want, this is what you're asking for, kind of like they wanted out of Egypt, I will give you what you want.
Yeah.
But I still want you to love me and do this. So,
yeah, I think it's more of like for them to understand the depravity of human character, right? Like the fact that they had two kings who were super good, 80 years of abundance, blessing, beauty. But before that, they had a king that wasn't so good. The Spirit of the Lord left him, right? And Saul. And after that, they had a bunch of kings that weren't so good. 13 of them, to be exact, right? And so when you have 13 kings and you're going over and over and over and over again that these kings are awful, then you're seeing like, hey, maybe God was right.
Right.
Well, maybe we should have
good.
Yeah.
But then they got that pride.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Got
the, throne, right?
Yeah. We're like, hey, we're going to do it my way now instead of God's way. And then it went downhill from there.
So the throne was supposed to be a gift to the people from God because they requested it. But the promise was for God, for David's house to endure forever. So from David's line, that there would be the Messiah, the Holy One, the eternal King. And we see that in the Psalms and the prophets in the New Testament, that the expectation was that the Messiah was coming. God was intentional in establishing his promise with David. And while David never saw the fulfillment of it, God did it. The root of David, Jesus Christ, the eternal King who sits on the throne forever. That was really interesting to me, right? That this Israel went into exile again. Babylon, Assyria. There were many, many years where Israel was not Israel. The kingdom not happen.
They kept losing it.
Yeah.
Just
because of their sin. Right. And yet, God still delivers on his promise. Whew. Right? Because the sign of this was crown and throne.
Right. So.
And they lose the crown and they lose the throne. And yet, God still delivers on his promise.
It's kind of like God has this perfect plan, but we keep messing it up on him. You know, the Israelites kept messing it up on him. And I'd imagine he wanted the whole thing to go a different way, but we chose not to go that way, you know, and it's just, he had to have this lineage for Jesus. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and it wasn't just lineage. It's also the uniting of the kingship and the covenant, right? So like for the first time ever, the crown becomes a part of the promise,
right?
Because what happens with Jesus? What crown does he get? Well, he gets the crown of thorns, but in that, the blood that's spilled is a part of him, a part of his salvation, right? So up until this point, we have prophets, priests, and a few kings, but now we have kings. And with Jesus, he is the fulfillment of every prophet, every priest, and every king. And in him comes to completion this story. So it's just like getting closer to this fulfillment of, you know, hey, on the throne is Jesus. He is the king. He's the one who is in charge of everything. He's the one who has the permanent covenant, as Isaiah 55 would say. And so I think here we just see God getting much, much closer to that. And also, we see God working on Mount Moriah. Do you remember what other covenant had Mount Moriah in it?
Mount Moriah would be Abraham.
Abraham.
I had to think
about it. And Mount Moriah is now, what would we... the Solomon's temple was built there. So you have the old gate and the west end. So that's where this is at. And
now how far is, I've never looked this up, Mount Moriah to Sinai.
So Sinai's in Egypt or Sinai's more like Jordan. So they would be able to, if you stand on Moriah, on
the peninsula from Egypt to Israel in that little area.
So if you stand on Moriah, not anymore, because there's a bunch of buildings, but you used to be able to see Sinai from Moriah.
So they were pretty close.
So Moriah is where this temple is built. But Moriah, God provided a lamb for Abraham. At Moriah, God provides a kingdom. And at Moriah, God will eventually provide a savior, because Moriah is right next to where Jesus would die, technically on the map. So really interesting here. But we get this kingdom that comes from the crown.
Before we do that, I got $1 million question for you.
Okay, here's $1 million question.
Why did God choose this area for all this to happen?
Well,
This all goes back to the garden. Yeah.
And you look at like the headwaters and all of that. I mean, to me, and one of the best books that I ever read was called Chasing Eden. And it's essentially this idea of like God still working in the same places that he had the garden, because he wants people not to long for the garden, but to long for, you know, that Eden ideal again. So, I mean, to me, it's like, hey, this is all around where Eden was,
right?
You know, So we're chasing Eden, essentially. We've been exiled, and now we're trying to get back.
Which would be on the north side of Israel is what they say, right up there. But yeah, it's just, you know, we talk about these mountains and all this type of stuff going on, and you kind of think, it just pops up in my mind. I don't know if anybody out there has that ever thought, but why was it all right here, you know? Why was it the desert in the mountains? Why wasn't it the lush green, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting, but God's really working through time and space in the same place, too, you know? And, you know, David establishes his kingdom on Moriah. Solomon builds the temple on Moriah. It becomes a holy place where God's presence dwells amongst his people. And then eventually the Savior comes and dies within eye distance of Moriah.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So when he built the temple, was that the first temple?
Solomon built the first, technically, yes. Because, the tabernacle was a movable temple. So we're talking a permanent temple. Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yes. So that was what I would consider to be the first temple. Some people would probably not agree with me, and that's okay. They don't have to. They're wrong.
But that's what I was thinking, because they carried it around, in the ark and all that, and the tabernacle, but Solomon, which his son.
And Jesus, you know, both to get to the cross, Jesus would have to go up on Moriah. He would go through the old temple, you know, and so that's a really interesting thing just to think about, you know, is that Jesus is walking through this path where his forefathers, his great, 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 great grandfather once ruled, you know? And so God's just super cool, super intentional.
And talking about that, I was just thinking, if you go back through all the people that God's used, he doesn't use perfect people. He uses people that are messed up, just like us, you know? And it's amazing what he can do with these people. And they still mess up, and there's still forgiveness and grace and everything. But look what he used. You know, David, he's done a lot of bad things, but God still used him.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't ever think that you're not usable. God can use you. Just read the Bible. That's all I got to say.
Well, in this covenant here, it shows us that God had a plan for a kingdom and a nation to rule, right? And God had this Israel not only found stability, they ended up defeating many, many, many nations. Like the kingdom of Israel grew to its largest peak under David, which is incredible. In this season of blessing, Israel saw the fulfillment of many promises, safety, prosperity, the presence. So all the promises that were present prior to this are being fulfilled a lot in David. But yet David is not the Messiah. Because after David, we have more of the messianic predictions than we ever did before David. And so, like, you can't get that confused, right? Like, David is this really great man after God's own heart. But it would be from David's line that all nations, not just, When Israel joined together with Judah, right? And then they began to defeat nations, they would assume them into their kingdom, right? So they would become a part of Israel. Not all of them, I don't know whether they were forced to become Jews or not, but all of them were assumed into the kingdom. And so it honestly is an example of what Christ does when he assumes these people groups into his kingdom. And so it's like a little bit of a foreshadow in that. And, you know, the result of not fulfilling the covenant was that the throne would be temporarily defeated. We go through Judah and Israel split after Solomon. 19 of the kings in Israel and 12 of the kings in Judah were known by the phrase, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Not a phrase you want to be known by. But 8 of them were still, described as doing right in the Lord's eyes. So not only David's life is the up and down heartbeat, the entire history of Israel at this time is kind of that up and down heartbeat, you know. And so, 340 years later, the Babylonians exile, the temple's destroyed, all of these things happen. So really, the throne would be temporarily defeated. But one day it would come again, right? And that would be Jesus.
That throne will not be defeated.
And that throne will not be and has not been and won't be. You know, so the Davidic covenant was made because God knew that David would be a faithful steward of his promise. He wasn't perfect. You know, his success pointed forward to the greater king, but his sinful shortcomings reminded Israel to look beyond human strength. All that David, all that David fulfilled, and then all that David didn't fulfill was eventually fulfilled in Jesus. And that's that's the story. So, you know, David is just really incredible. But anything else that you had, any questions or thoughts that you had on David?
Well, I like David because, yes, he messed up. Mm-hmm. He was human just like us, but he realized he messed up.
Yeah.
And he always just, you know, he always went back to God.
Yeah. And although he covered sin with sin, you know, when he was.
Yeah. But he finally went, you know, when that child died.
Yeah.
What did he do? He laid there.
Lord, Psalm 51 comes from that. Yeah.
I mean, he realized it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people you see through there didn't realize it, just kept going. But he did. He had a heart for God, just like God had said, but he still was broken. He still had those faults and stuff, but he kept going on.
Yeah.
You know, he kept repenting, I guess.
Yeah, coming back to the Lord. So David's a really interesting covenant. There's a lot that you could dig into. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where, like you said, this promise was unconditional, which meant that it didn't resolve on any conditions.
I wrote down. Let me find it. Yeah. I wrote down the surety of this promise rested solely on God's faithfulness and does not depend on David or Israel obedience.
Obedience, yeah.
And it doesn't.
And that's the beauty of this one. And this is the final covenant before we get to the new covenant and the covenant that we exist in today, which is the covenant with Jesus. And I think, you know, I'll start that by talking about the line, the witch in the wardrobe, and how like this fullness of the story has come about. And I think that that's just the coolest part of God's storytelling, is that now, as we gravitate towards this next story, this next covenant, this next promise, we get to live in that today. So this is why the covenant series is just so cool. It's why this covenant is really important, because God establishes his throne with David, but it doesn't end with David. It's just beginning with David.
It's awesome.
So, this is cool stuff. If you ever want more study on the covenant, there's some great resources out there, some good books, and some good stuff online. We'd love to help you find those. So thanks for listening to the Halfway There podcast, Brian. As always, thanks for talking and filling space with me occasionally. I pray that the Lord will use this for his honor and for his glory. I really do appreciate us getting to have these conversations.
I enjoy it every week.
Well, thanks, Brian. We'll catch you on the next episode as we talk about the new covenant. If you want to read ahead, Luke 22 is where we're going to be. Check it out. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.